know that Roger knows that.
We is what? And? And? Elay means what? These? Shemot.
Names.
All right. That comes from Shem. Shem is a name of an individual, but it's also, it means name or monument or pillar. Okay? We Elay Shemot. Who would like to lead us in prayer tonight? Brother Mike, you want to run up here? And I can always pick on you. You just jump right up and do it to it.
Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight knowing that you are the way and the truth. We thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for this knowledge. And we thank you for this spiritual leader. We thank you that everyone has the freedom to make it here today. And we praise your holy name. Let us be led by the Spirit and filled. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. 224. Vayishma Elohim et Na'agatam. Why is Kor Elohim et Beroto et Avraham et Yitzchak v'et Yaakov? And he heard Elohim. Eth is the sign of the direct object. Their lamentations, their groanings, their misery. And he remembered, third person masculine singular cow, while consecutive and perfect, remembered Elohim. Eth, the covenant. We Eth, or Eth, Avraham, Isaac. We et Yaakov. Now, this is what we call a figure of speech here. This is a condescension. This is a condescension. What do we mean a condescension? Do you think that God ever forgot anything?
No.
That would be contrary to the nature of God, wouldn't it? He is omniscient. So why does it say God remembered this? I think maybe if you translated this thoroughly into the English and the humankind, it said, God, though he is omniscient, it came to the point of time when God decided that this was the time now, that the time had been fulfilled for the Canaanites to do their dirty deeds. The fullness of the wickedness of the Canaanite was full, and that Israel had been built into a mighty nation, and the right circumstances were there. Now God is going to validate again the covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right, now do you agree with that? God didn't have to remember it at all. That is a figure of speech. That's a figure of speech. A condescension. Condescension. Do you know what that means? That means to go from a higher level down to a lower level. So that we can understand this situation. God condescended and used human language and human speech and human ideas so that we could understand what he's doing there. All right. Wayar Elohim et Bnei Yisrael, Wayida Elohim. Now, some of the manuscripts, see what I put a little D or an E or an F or an A up there sometimes, and I actually wrote it in. And he was known to them, is how it ends in some old manuscripts. I don't put all of that every time. You'll see that in different Bibles, This is what you call the apparatus, an apparatus. How many of you have a real Greek or a real Hebrew Bible? Does anybody have one? Oh, okay, but I'm... That's good. Okay, how many of you have a real Greek manuscript, the whole Bible, or a real Hebrew Bible? In the bottom of that Greek or Hebrew Bible, at the bottom, sometimes the page will have this much stuff, and then the bottom of it will have all this different kind of manuscript. And they'll have little parts of verses that are added in some manuscripts, and so that is what is added down here. I thought I'd add it here so you just know what it was talking about, okay? All right. And he saw Elohim, sons of Israel, and he knew Elohim. All right, and he knew. He kept on knowing Elohim. Now we're in the third chapter. We got to the third chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus means way out. You Moshe, Haya, Roeh, Et, Son, Yitro, Ha, Teno, Kohan, Midyan, Wai, Hag, Et, Hatson, Acha, Ha, Midbar, Wayavu, Havel, Ha Elohim. I did that wrong. El Har. El Har. Ha Elohim. Ha Rival. And Moses, he became shepherding, watching. See how word Roeh comes from that? And where it says that Jehovah is our shepherd, that's what the word is, Roeh. Jehovah Roeh. Jehovah our shepherd. Shepherding sheep and goats, small animals. That word sown there, that means a sheep or a goat. A sheep or a goat. And it, sheep and goats take shepherding. Do you know that? You can take cows and turn them out on 1,000 acres or 2,000 acres and just leave them be. But I'm going to tell you something. Sheep and goats take watching. Dakota? How long do you think Louis would last without somebody, Roe, watching over him? Not very long. They're always into something. A sheep is the closest thing to a human as far as being stupid. Is there, they can fall and ditch. They're liable to do anything. They need watching. They need shepherding. We need a shepherd. Sheep and goats. And then we have here Yitro. All right. Yitro, that means Jethro. All right. Yitro, what does Jethro mean? Remember what Jethro means? Cindy, you remember what that one means? Sharon, you always got all the answers. Mike? All right. Brother Roger. We're going to go get an answer all the way from Korea. Jethro. Kind of like Abraham. It's kind of made, Pam, do you remember that? Dakota, you remember? It means exalted, preeminence, higher than everybody else. Jethro, okay? Father-in-law. And actually, it's not father-in-law in Hebrew. It means wife's father. Wife's father is what it literally means. Wife's father. Priest, Kohen. Kohen. Priest of Midian. All right? And these are Midian's... Who is Midian, by the way? These children are all Abraham's grandchildren, aren't they? These are all Japhethites. All right? Japhethites. From the Japhethite wife of Abraham. And he kept on leading the flock. Behind Ha-Midbar, the wilderness, Yabu, and he came El-Har, unto mountain Har, unto the mountain of the Elohim, to Horeb, all right, or Horibah. We could go into that a whole lot. There are lots of Sinais, 20 some odd, I think. Probably the Sinai, with my studies, the Sinai, the surreal Sinai, is probably the one where St. Catherine's is. That goes so far back in time that and there's some things around there. Besides that, they have a Bible there. They have books there that came to their library like in 300 AD, 200 AD. That history of that place goes way back, all the way back to that period of time. Okay? I know that they've got a lot of books out here now on different things say it's down in the Midianite area where the Midianites were, but if you get back in history, I mean, if you don't believe that, you can believe it. But I think it's not foundational. We'll get into that just a little bit more later. Okay? Wayira, Malak, Hadavar, Elah, Bilabat, Esh, Metok, Hasene, Wayar, Wihene, Hasene, Boer, and kept on appearing an angel, Jehovah. Angel Jehovah, that's Hadavar there, see, that's the word. That's the word that they never spoke. Unto him, Bilabat, in flame, fire-ish, from middle, Metok, from the middle of a blackberry bush. From the middle of a blackberry bush. That's what it says in Hebrew, a blackberry bush. You can call this a blackberry or a wild raspberry bush, okay? Now, do they have thorns on them? Lots of them. I heard a sermon one time. Now, of course, you know, the Hebrew and the Greek always get things straightened out. I heard a sermon one time where a guy preached and the thorns that were put on Jesus' head, they were long thorns like this, and, you know, they show them there, and this is the same bush that was here. But this is not the same bush as the thorns they put on Jesus' head. The thorns they put on Jesus' head are very long thorns from a bush that's very long thorns. This is a blackberry or a raspberry bush. Okay? This has fruit on it. Now, a tumbleweed can catch on fire and burn poof, like that, can it? Poof. Okay? But a raspberry bush doesn't go poof and burn up like that. And that's what was surprising Moses. This bush is on fire, but it's not burning. Why isn't it burned up? Lightning strikes, you've got static. How many of you have ever been in a storm in a desert? A dust storm. I had a place up in Fish Lake Valley, and we had a big dust storm one day, and I decided to put out a long wire that was 1,000 foot long, and it ran out across my property and way out in the BLM. It went across the road out there, 1,000 feet long. And I could get on there and I tune that thing up with an antenna tuner, and I could talk in that direction very strong. But one day there came it wasn't a lightning storm. or anything like that. This was just a dust storm. And I started smelling like sparking. I would hear in this just like that every 2 seconds. And it was coming. I went over to my antenna tuner, and the watt meter was going tune, 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 tune. I said, what in the world is going on here? The radio's not turned on or anything. And I looked over there behind that thing, and fire was shooting that far. Sparks were shooting. My hair like stood on end. And I said, what in the world am I going to do? I can't disconnect it. And it went outside. The coax had come in the house and went outside and went out there, and it was just blowing dust. I went out there and I got welding gloves on and I got some side cutters, some cutters, you know. And I went out there and got those welding gloves on. I threw down a rubber mat and stood on it, and I cut that thing in two. I thought my house was going to burn down. Static electricity can cause fires. Static electricity can cause fires. That is, there is no problem. I mean, it can happen. Lightning storms can cause fires, and things burn up. We've got fires going on right now, don't we? So that's not the unusual thing. I want you to understand that that's not the unusual thing here. The bush burning, things catch on fire in the wilderness, out in the desert. You can go up on top of White Mountain up there, and lightning has hit those bristlecone pine trees many times, sometimes, and they've burned. But this bush didn't burn, and the flame kept going. What was there in the flame? What was in there? The same flame, what? The Shekinah glory. The same flame that was right here. That's what was in that blackberry bush right there. Blackberry bush. It was the Shekinah glory of God, because the angel of the Lord kept appearing to him. And this angel of the Lord is not an angel. Okay? This is Jehovah himself talking to him. And he's called the angel of the Lord in times. Sometimes he sends an angel, but this is Jehovah the messenger. Jesus was a messenger, wasn't he? He was a messenger. But he was the angel of Jehovah, and that's who's here. The angel of Jehovah is here. In a flame of fire in the middle of the word thorn bush, just ignore that and put blackberry bush down there. Blackberry or raspberry bush. But that's exactly, it'll tell you that. Look it up on page 702 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and you will see it. In the blackberry bush. And he kept on looking. And behold, Wehene, the blackberry bush burning. It kept on burning. Let's go over there to part B. Baish, Wehasene, Inenu, you call. All right. In fire, and the blackberry bush, not, it was eaten up. Not, it was eaten up. The bush was not eaten up. It just kept on burning. Now, if you go up to Mount Sinai, and you go to St. Catherine's, they will show you a sprout from this bush. They will show you a sprout up there. It's on a wall, and they'll say, this is part of the bush that Moses saw burning. Whether it is or not, I can guarantee you one thing, they got the species right. It's a species. It is a wild blackberry or raspberry bush. All right. Wyomer. Moshe. Asurah. Na. We'ere. Et. Hamere. Hagadol. Haze. Madua. Lo. Yevar. Hasene. And he said, Moses. And he kept on saying, Moses, I shall turn aside now. That word now there, na, it sometimes it means it's a particle in entreaty. It says please sometimes. You'll see the thing, it'll say please. Or some translations will say I beg or I pray. And see. First person construct, cal, cohortive, and meaning, and see. See, that word is roeh. He's going to shepherd the bush now. That's the same word for shepherd. The sight, ha-merah. The sight, the great, ha-gadol, the this. Why not? It has kept on burned up. It has burned up the thorn or the blackberry bush. All right, the blackberry bush. Three in verse 4. Wayar, Hadavar, Ki, Sar, Lirot, Wayikra, Elal, Elohim, Mitok, Hasane, Wayomer, Moshe, Wayomer, Hinnini. All right. And he kept on seeing Jehovah because he had turned aside to see, and he called unto Elohim from the midst of the blackberry bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, kept on saying, behold me, behold me. Wayomer, all, Tikrav, Halom, Shal, Nihalika, Mia, Raglika, Ki, Hamakom, Asher, Ata, Omed, Allah, Admat, Kadesh, Pew. And he said, not, you come near here. Pull off your sandals, underbinders, from upon your feet, because the Hamikom, the place, which, the particle of relation, you are standing upon ground holiness, Kadesh. It. Actually, she is. The ground upon your standing, she is holy. The ground upon your standing, she is holy. All right. Now I want to go back a couple of pages, maybe. And get some notes that I wrote here somewhere. The ground upon which you're standing is holy ground. There it is. Jasher 79. Let's go back and historically research this. Jasher 79. One through four. And in those days, Moses was feeding the flock of Reuel, the Midianite, his father-in-law, beyond the wilderness of Sin. And the stick, or Adam's rod, which he had taken from his father-in-law, was in his hand. What did that rod stand for? What did that rod stand for? That staff. Brother Mike?
I don't know. Power, authority.
Authority. That's the word authority. Authority. Now, in every age, in every period of time, like it says, God's plan of the ages, there is a person that has authority. There is an individual or there is a society that has authority. Okay? And at this time, God, now that rod had come all the way down from Adam, according to the book of Jasher and according to all the rabbinical writings, period. Okay? This is all history and they will all tell you the same thing. Okay? In that authority, that rod was Adam's rod that God gave to him. And who was in authority? Who was the administrator in the Garden of Eden? Who? Adam. Adam. Adam was. He said, you watch it, Roe. Watch over and care for it and guard it with your life. That's what he told him to do, wasn't it? What happened? He kind of just goofed up, didn't he? All right? The same stick, symbol of authority, rod, staff. Abraham carried that rod. Isaac carried that rod. Jacob carried that rod. Joseph carried that rod. And remember the story about Jethro taking the rod out of Egypt and putting it out in his garden. This is where we get the story of the sword and the stone. And no one could pull the rod out or the staff out of the garden. It was just stuck in the ground. Like the sword and stone was stuck in the stone. Nobody could get it out. And then when Moses came along, he pulled it out, just pulled it out. Because he was the man that was supposed to have the rod. Okay? Now he has this symbol of authority with him. Okay? Now he's going to find out what this symbol of authority is for. He's going to do something with this symbol of authority. He's going to get a rude awakening. With that rod comes authority. Moses, what we call the Mosaic Covenant. How many have ever heard of that term? Mosaic Covenant. The Mosaic Covenant, Moses was basically the head of it, but it actually is the Abrahamic Covenant. The Mosaic Covenant, that's where we have the Decalogue and we have all of the law and the first five books of the Bible. We have Moses, and I've heard a lot of preachers say at the end of that, it says Moses was a most humble man, and he died, so and so. They said, well, Moses couldn't have written that. I believe he could have. I believe God could have easily inspired him to write about his own death. Do you know that? I believe that. I believe God could have inspired him to write about his own death. As if it had happened. Now that's, if you believe in the inspiration of the Bible, you can believe in that. I have no problem with it at all. And Reuel, the Midianite, what does Reuel mean, by the way? That's another name of Jethro, isn't it? What does Jeter, Reuel, Ru, all of that mean? What does it mean? Reuel means friend of God. Ru means friend. His name was Reuel, friend of God. Jethro, Jeter. These are all his names. Beyond the wilderness sin, and the stick which his father-in-law had was in his hand, the symbol of authority. Now he's going to get to use it. And it came to pass one day that a kid of goats strayed from the flock, and Moses pursued it and he came to the mountain of God in Horeb. Okay? And when he came to Horeb, the Lord appeared there unto him in the bush. And he found the bush burning with fire, but the fire had no power over the bush to consume it. Verse number 4. And Moses was greatly astonished at this sight. Wherefore the bush was not consumed, and he approached to see this mighty thing. And the Lord called unto Moses out of the fire and commanded him to go down to Egypt, to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to send the children of Israel from his service. That was in Jasher 79, 1 through 4. Now, we also find out that God told him to do what? What did he give him a command to do? Remember, Cindy, what did he tell him to do right there, right then? Take your shoes off. Take your underbinders off. Shoes are underbinders. That's what they literally are, underbinders. It's hypodeo in Greek. All right? Underbinders. Take your underbinders off because you're standing on the hallowed ground. Now, there was a guy by the name of Cobb. A guy by the name of Cobb, and he was a great Jewish scholar. And this goes way back yonder. Somewhere around 700 A.D., between 600 and 700 A.D., Cobb was. Okay? And Cobb was living in an Islamic world, in an Islamic country, and he was a Jew. And he believed, he studied the Torah, and he had a lot to do with the Talmud, what we call the Talmud that was not in the Palestinian Talmud, but the one over there in the Arabian Talmud. What? Yeah. The Babylonian Talmud. He had a lot to do with that. And he had to pay taxes to the Islamic world to live in that country. And they started trying to convert him to Islam. Okay? Islam and Judaism is a lot alike. They have Sabbaths. They have feasts. They have all kinds of things. And he read something in the Quran. And he read a commentary on the Quran. And this is what it says about it. Cobb is described as teaching from the Torah scroll in the mosque. According to the Muslim traditionalist Husayn B. Abi al-Hur al-Anabari, a famous scholar are described as asking him to interpret the biblical verses of the Quran, which typically he would interpret from the context of biblical stories from the Babylonian Talmud. In a tradition found in the famous Hadith collection of Malik B. Anas Ka'ab, he is said to have observed a man who took off his shoes in a mosque in Ka'ab and turned to the man and said, "Why do you remove your shoes? Was it because you were interpreting the Quran? Take your shoes off. You are on holy, or in a holy valley." Tuwa 20 and verse 12. This scriptural verse is part of the Quranic narrative parallel to Exodus 3, in which Moses sees a burning fire out of the midst of which his name is called. Now, the only reason why I'm telling you this, you might get to witness to some Islamic person one of these days, okay? Whether it's true or not, we do not know. But at least you'll know this little part. Which Moses sees a burning bush out of the midst of which his name is called. And Cobb then asked the man who had removed his shoes, "And do you know what Moses' shoes were made of?" "They were made from the leather of a dead donkey." Alright, now what's about a donkey? What about a donkey? What kind of an animal, according to the law, is a donkey?
Unclean.
Unclean. So, according to the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, and according to the commentary, the Hadith of the Quran, is that they were made of the leather of a dead donkey. And it is clear from both Exodus 3 and 5 and the Quran 20 and verse 12 that God demanded Moses that he remove his shoes. Both the scriptural texts associated with the removing of his shoes with Moses being in a sacred place, but neither explains exactly what the reason was for removing his shoes in such a circumstance. Cobb fills in the gap with the explanation that Moses' shoes were made from the skin of a dead donkey. The exact significance of this fact has been lost to us, but it was obvious enough to Cobb in his day that the listener did not need further explanation. Could the issue have been that the shoes were made of donkey leather, were considered defiling, and therefore must be removed when one is in a sanctified place? I thought I'd bring that to you. Whether or not it's true. God told him to take his shoes off, whether they're made out of donkey skin or whether they're made out of camel hide or whatever. They could have been made out of donkey skin and they could have been made out of camel hide. And both of them are what? Unclean animals. Okay? But we also know that they could not build an altar that was chiseled, could they? When you see so many movies with altars made out of squared blocks and things, that's not... God says, do not put a chisel on an altar. Why not do anything man-made looking to an altar? An altar is a place of what? Sacrifice. An altar typifies salvation. And when they came up to the altar, they had to come up barefooted. Always barefooted. Because God sees your feet as you are. You are naked in His sight. Alright? And it couldn't be chiseled because salvation is not of anything to do with man. There's nothing you can do. They had to be natural stones that God made. You can pile one on top of another, but you could not chisel them. The Temple of Solomon could not, the stones could not be cut within sight or within hearing distance of where the temple was. Why? They had to be chiseled someplace else. And when they put them in place, they could not be the sound of a hammer or a chisel. Why? Because that temple is a type of us. And how do we get to heaven? Not by our own works, but by God's works. Okay? Not by our works, but by God's works. We are saved by grace and grace alone. By grace and grace alone. Saved by grace. Where is the very famous New Testament verse that proves that so easily? Brother Mike. It's in the book of the erroneous book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is not actually the book of Ephesians, is it? Huh? Ephesians 2 and 8. For in grace you're having been saved through faith, and it has nothing to do with you. It is a gift of God. The book of Ephesians is not the Ephesian letter. It was a letter that was written, basically, and sent out from Ephesus. That is a circular church letter, is what it is. A letter to all the churches. What we call a universal epistle. Alright? Wyomer. Well, wait a minute. I've goofed. Let's go back over to where we were. Wyomer. Al Tigrov. Halom, Shal, Ni'alika, Mi'al, Raglika, Ki, Hamakom, Asher, Ata, Om, Elah, Admat, Kadeshu. We looked at this a while ago. And he said, and he kept on saying, not you shall come near here. It says, pull off your underbinders from upon your feet, because the place which you standing upon ground or land holiness she is. Alright. Now, the tabernacle and the temple were all types of something about God. Something about God. Now, David went to the temple one time, or actually to the tabernacle, and talked to a priest there, and his men were running from Saul. And he asked them for food, bread, and what did the guy say? Remember what he said? Cindy, you remember what he said? We don't have any food. He said, what do you have? He said, the only kind of bread I have is the holy bread. The holy bread. The holy bread. What was that? The bread of the presence. That's what we call the showbread. There were 12 loaves of showbread right here. This is where it was. Right there. There was 12 loaves of bread on that table. And they were always in the presence of God. And the showbread was specifically made. And it was put in there freshly. And It was always in the presence of the Lord. In there was the candlestick, and we have the altar of incense and the table of showbread. Now, the priest asked David. The priests, when they were serving in the tabernacle, they couldn't eat grapes. They couldn't eat raisins. They couldn't drink wine. They couldn't drink grape juice. Okay? They couldn't have anything like that because they had to have a clear head. Because even the raisins were soaked in wine, which had alcohol in them. And they could not associate with their wives all the time they were in service. They could not be with them because God wanted one thing on their mind, and that's the service to the Lord. Okay? And then while they were there, they ate the showbread. That was for the priest only. They ate it. Okay? They ate it. When they took and put new showbread in there, then they ate the showbread. Now, the showbread today, we have kind of a remembrance today, don't we? And that remembrance is a cup of wine or grape juice we use today. It's oinos. We had all the names for wine in the Old Testament and in the New last Wednesday night. It was something that looked like blood. Okay? All of that typifies and came from this period of time. The blood that was shed, the showbread. Now, the blood that was shed, when we really apply Christ's blood to us, what happens to us? Cindy, dikaios sune. You become righteous. You become righteous when the blood is applied. You become righteous. Why do you become righteous? Because of what you do? Because the blood cleanses you. And blood stains. When blood stains something, you can't hardly get it out. It's like grape juice. When grape juice stains, when wine stains, you can hardly get it out. It's really indelible. Okay? What about the bread? When Jesus instituted the... And here we have another symbol of authority. I have a lot of churches throughout the land. But God's churches came down through the ages. A lot of them split off from there. The rod of authority. You'll find out something is wrong in every one of these churches that didn't come from the right source. They always have a different interpretation of the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist, the bon Dieu, or whatever. They all have some little twisted idea of doctrine, something different. All down through the ages, it's always a little off and astray because they didn't ever have the authority. They didn't have the authority. That authority is very important. Now, when they partook of that bread, that holy bread, what would happen to their lives in the tabernacle service? They would become holy because they associated with the Holy One. Moses became holy when he walked on holy ground, did he not? When Moses stood in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God, when he went down off the mountain, what happened? Scared him to death, didn't it? The people couldn't look at him because they saw the Shekinah glory of God shining through him. Because he had touched God. And God had touched him. When those priests ate that bread, they became holy. When David's men ate that bread, they became holy. Consecrated. Set aside. And God protected them too, didn't He? All right? God protected them. 3 and verse 6. We went off on that rabbit just a little bit, but I think it was an important rabbit. Wayomer. Anoki. Elohi. Avita. Elohi. Abraham. Elohi. Yitzhak. We Elohi. Yaakov. Why? Yaster. Moshe. Pano, Ki, Yare, Nihabit, El Ha'elohim. And he said, and he kept on saying, I, God, I creator, Elohim. Now that word there is in the possessive, what we call case. You want to call it case? I am the God belonging to your father. I am the God that belongs to your father, and your father belonged to me. Okay? When you are saved, you don't belong to you anymore. You belong to God. When you're saved, you belong to God. You have a possessor. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And I am the Lord's sheep. Jesus, Psalm 23 and John, the 10th chapter, are just like juxtaposition, parallel verses in the Bible. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I love my sheep. I lay my life down for them. And you go back and you look at Psalm 23, that was David's idea of heaven itself. And we have that shepherd. We have him. And he has us. I am the God belonging to your father, the God belonging to Abraham, and the God belonging to Isaac, and the God belonging to Jacob. There's a ghost over in the corner. And he hid Moses, his face. Panah. Literally, it literally means nose. He hid his nose. Because he had feared from looking unto the God. God was looking at him, and he was looking at who? What was he doing? Where was he standing? Where was Moses standing? In front of a blackberry bush. Okay, he's standing in front of a blackberry bush. And the blackberry bush was on fire. And the Shekinah glory was shining through that. Back over here when they built the tabernacle, when the tabernacle was completely built, God took possession of it. And God took possession of that blackberry bush and lit on it. And then he took possession of Moses. When we're saved, God wants to take possession of us, doesn't he? We surrender ourselves to him, our lives to him. All right, 3 and verse 7. Wayomer, Hadbah, Ra'ol, Ra'iti, Et, Oni, Ami, Asher, Be Mitzrayim, Viet, Tisa Katam, Shemati, Mipene, No Kisa, Ki, Yaditi, Makova Viet. And he said and kept on saying, Jehovah. I said, Hadavar, because that's the word right there we're talking about. That's the same word that's in John 1 and 1, John 1, 14, 1, 18, the same word in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, too. That's Jehovah. And he kept on saying, Jehovah, seeing I have seen. Seeing I have seen, that's the word pasturing, that's the word shepherding right there in that. See, it all comes from that word on page 906 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, 1157, and Kohler and Baumgartner. I have seen the suffering, the affliction of my people. That's in the possessive case also, in it, of the people of me. Ami. Elohi, Ami. See, that's in the possessive. Who, little particle of relation, be Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim. What's Mitzrayim mean? Huh? Land of red mud and canal banks. And their cry, I have heard from the face of their foremen, their tasking ones, because I have known their sorrows and pains. I have known their sorrows and pains. 3 and verse 8. Why a red? Lihat se lo. Miad. Mitzrayim. Yulei ha'alato. Men. Ha'aretz. Hahin. Hahu, that is. El. Eretz. Toba. Yuri Chaba. Or Chaba, whichever way you want to say it. El. Eretz. Zabat. Hello. Yudibash. El. Mikom. Haka Naani. We ha chiti. We ha emori. We ha perizi. We ha chi. Wiwi. We ha visi. Vusi. We ha vusi. And I have come down to rescue from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land, the that, unto the land Tov, Tovah, unto the land that's good. That means spiritually good too. Everything. If they followed God's orders, this land would not only be good, it would be spiritually good. And in Greek, it's kalos and agathos. Agathos is spiritual good. In Greek, kalos is just good. Agathos is spiritually good. This land will be good and it will be consecrated. It will become holy. It will be holy land. You go, people go to the holy land all the time, don't they? Whatever made the land holy in the first place? It's nothing but a land of wars and things. Brother Lee, you've been over there?
Yes.
You've been there.
The land of rocks.
Yeah. Lots of rocks.
You can make money on rocks if you're a millionaire.
Yeah, that's right. I used to, you know, you read a lot of things in books. I remember reading a book one time that said they were going to import rocks, stones, into Jerusalem to build that new temple. They don't have to import rocks at all. There's plenty of rocks. They need to find someplace something to do with them. Good, the land good and wide. Yuri Chava. Unto the land flowing, gushing. Gushing. Feminine singular, cal participle. Gushing. Zol, with milk. Hallo. Milk. That means white milk. Milk that makes your teeth white. Yudavash and honey. Unto a place of the Canaanites. What does the word Canaanite mean? What does Canaan mean? Canaan. Canaan. Come on, guys, girls. Cindy, you remember Canaan? What? That's right. Possession or gotten. It's going to be your possession. God told Noah way back yonder, just after the flood, that land was going to be theirs. That his grandson, Canaan, would go into the land and he was going to become a viciously terrible person and all of his descendants would be terrible, but the fullness of them, the wickedness of them would be full, and then God was going to bring them and give them that land that they were going to be servants. In the meanwhile, building cities and building farms and building orchards and building vineyards and populating the place. But it was going to be theirs. It was going to be their possession. And the Hittites. And the Amorites. And the Perizzites. And the Hivites and the Jebusites. Who's the Jebusites? Who are these? Who is this? Where do they? What place do they inhabit? What's the name of that place? Brother Lee? Yeah, but what was it called back then?
Ooh,
come on, it comes right from this name. It was called the city of Jebush, the Jebusites. And it became known as the city of Jerusalem. This is the same place.
A different tribe before Abraham.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Jebush. The Jebusites, the Jebush. The old city of Jebush is right there, real close to the city of David.
And that's where Abraham took his son Isaac.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. 3 and verse 9. We are taught. Bene. Tasaka. Bene. Yisrael. Ba'a. Ile. Wagam. Ra'ati. Et. Halahatz. Asher. Mitzrayim. Lo Hatsim. Otam. And now behold. Pay attention. Cry, the sons of Israel, has come unto me. And also I have seen the great depression, oppression, the pressure, and the tribulation which Egyptians keep on tribulating and oppressing and murdering and inflicting upon them. 3 and verse 10. We are taught. Lika. We eshalachaka. El. Paro. We hotse. Et. Ami. Bene. Yisrael. Me Mitzrayim. And now come. Now come. Come. Now walk. Walk and I shall send you. First person construct, kalhor authority, the meaning, suffix, second person, masculine, singing. I shall send you with authority. That rod you got in your hand, Moses, you got authority now. You got authority. You have authority now. Now we're in the Mosaic covenant. I'm going to send you down there, and no matter what happens, you have the authority. You have the authority that Adam held in his hand. And now you hold it in your hand. I will send you unto Pharaoh. What does Pharaoh mean? Remember what Pharaoh means? Cindy, you remember what Pharaoh means? Man in the big house. The man in the big house. That's what Pharaoh means. The man in the big house. And you shall lead out. You shall bring out, we Hatsi, my people. The people that belong to me. Ami. That Ami there, Am is people, Ami is my people. Sons of Israel from Egypt. From Egypt. You shall bring them out from Egypt. They don't belong in the world, they belong to me. They don't belong in Egypt, they belong in the land of Canaan. The land that I promised them that was going to be theirs. Now let's look in 3 and verse 11. 3 and verse 11. Wayomer. Moshe, El, Ha Elohim, Mi, Anoki, Ki, Elik, El, Taro, Wiki, Otsi, Et, Benei, Yisrael, Mem, Mitzrayim. And he said, Moses, unto his creator. When you see the word Elohim there, that's creator. His creator and the creator of the whole universe.
Plural form of God.
The plural form of God.
Or would you say that referring to a complete?
Well, that's referring to the whole Godhead. All right. Now, if you talk to a Muslim will tell you, oh, yes, that's a plural word, but it just means high. High. But we know who Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is, don't we? There aren't three gods. There's only one God, but they're triune. They look at him as a high exalted one. Just like that. Because they don't believe that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, do they?
Because of Exodus 6:4.
Yeah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is how many? Ahad. How many is Ahad? One.
So it's Deuteronomy
6:4. Yeah. Unto the Creator, who, me, I, that I shall walk unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring out the sons of Israel from Egypt. He sounds really, really surprised here, doesn't he? How am I going to do this? That rod you got in your hand, Moses, that's the one I gave to Adam that was passed all the way down. That's the rod, the power that I'm going to take you out. by that power. It's my power. It's not yours, Moses. It's my power. My power. There's a bee or something up there looking for a place to light. Don't light on me, I'm all right. 3 and 12, and that's where we'll finish for tonight. 3 and 12. Wyomer. Key. Iyeh. Imok. Wizeh. Lika. Haot. Ki. Anoki. Shila Chitika. Anybody got a fly swatter? Biha Si Aka. Et Ha'am Mimitzrayim. Where'd he go, Brother Lee? Oh, I'm allergic to him. That's why I'm a little bit worried. I think it may as well be a rattlesnake. Ta'abadun. Ta'abadun. Et Ha'elohim. Al Ha'ar. Ha'har. Hazeh. He was afraid of you. He would live someplace and stayed that way. And he kept on saying, because I shall become with you. And this for you, the sign, because I have set you with authority. This is a word like apostolos in the New Testament, sent out with authority. In your bringing out, walking out, and you're walking out the people from Egypt. All you shall serve, you all shall serve and keep on serving the Creator upon the mountains of this. Upon this mountain is where you're going to serve me. Upon this mountain. You're going to come to this mountain, Mount Hor. That's mountain. Mount Hor is, it says, mountain. Mount Hor means mountain. All right. You got any questions? We'll start with 3 and 13. Last week, where did we? We started with 224 to 312. Do you have any questions? Brother Mike, do you have any questions? Brother Abraham. What?
Zion.
Mount Zion?
No. Zion. The concept of Zion for Israel people is the kind of this guy at this time God is telling Moses about the holy mountain.
This was a holy mountain, yes. He said they're going to serve me on this mountain. You're going to come back here. All right. Now, I don't understand your question, brother.
I don't understand myself.
All right. Brother Roger? Cindy, you got a question? No? Mike? All right. Brother Lee? Pam? You got a question?
No.
All right. Okay. Brother Lee, you want to come up here and dismiss us in prayer, and we'll turn you out, and you can go out and do something eternal. Take what you've learned today and go work on a Muslim. That's a job. You got to change his idea about God, don't you? Tell him we're going to tax him. Like they taxed everybody else to have their own religion. We'll balance our budget. Brother Lee.
Father God, we thank you for bringing us here today. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all the study that Brother Phillips imparts to us, Lord, and we pray, God, that you'll do something eternal with us in this coming week, Father. We love you, and we glorify you in everything we do. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.